This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, as we get through this war, day 656 of Operation Swords of Iron, and the thought has gone through my mind about how this war ranks with other wars that Israel has fought. And I just wondered to myself where this might kind of fit into the picture in terms of how serious this war is when we compare Israel's previous wars. And just to remind people, the main wars that kind of come to my mind that I've compared this to are the War of Independence in 1948, which Israel fought without really having a proper army right after the Declaration of Independence, and all of the Arab world kind of teamed up together in order to try and destroy the nascent state of Israel. And that was miraculous because Israel had no proper army and no proper weapons and no state really to fight with, and yet managed somehow to overcome that. Then the next war that comes to my mind is really the Six-Day War, 1967. The most significant part of that war was really the reunification of Jerusalem, the capture of the east side of Jerusalem, and the surprise element. That war goes down in history as one of the most astonishing events and the most astonishing victories within 6 days. And the next war that comes to mind is the Yom Kippur War, 1973, which was also surprise attack on behalf of the Arab armies against Israel on a holy day. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And then beyond that, we've had two Lebanon wars. We've had various operations in Gaza. Those really are the wars that come to mind. And Howard, I don't know if you've thought about how this current battle really stacks up against the other wars that Israel's fought, unfortunately, numerous and way too many. But for me, the real comparison is the Yom Kippur War. Both of these wars were started on Jewish holy days, which were a surprise attack on that holy day. In both cases, Israel was really unprepared for war, and it all came as a huge surprise. And so I've just done a little comparison with the Yom Kippur War to see how all of this stacks up. Now, one of the things that really surprised me when I was looking into the Yom Kippur War is that the Yom Kippur War lasted 2 weeks and 5 days. 2 weeks and 5 days, less than 3 weeks, which at the time, and I remember being a young child at the time of the Yom Kippur War, and it felt a lot longer. And now when we talk about it, it still feels a lot longer than 2 weeks and 5 days. But when you compare that to 656 days, there is kind of no comparison. However, here are the things that may surprise you a little about the Yom Kippur War. So first of all, we know already that during the this war, Operation Swords of Iron, we've had more than 2,000 people killed during the war, almost 900 soldiers, more than 1,000 security forces all in all, and approximately 1,000 civilians, just a little bit more than 2,000. In the Yom Kippur War, in 2 weeks and 5 days, there were 2,500 people killed. Most of those, if not all of them, were military personnel, were soldiers as opposed to civilians. Right. But nonetheless, here's a little surprise for you as well. There were 293 people captured during the Yom Kippur War. Now, when we say captured in that case, it was mostly prisoners of war, soldiers who were captured by foreign armies. And in our case, in the Operation Swords of Iron, of course, we know that we had originally 251 captured people, hostages who were held, of which still 50 are being held. So there is a relative comparison between the number of people who were killed and those who were captured. In the Yom Kippur War, the number of people who were wounded, were injured, is in the order of 7,500 to 8,000 people. In Operation Swords of Iron, more than 13,500 people, civilians and soldiers, have been wounded in this war. That is an order of magnitude greater than the Yom Kippur War. In the Yom Kippur War, we lost more than 400 tanks, more than 400 armored vehicles, and would you believe more than 100 airplanes were lost during the Yom Kippur War. In our current war, we have no statistics for the number of airplanes, tanks, or armored vehicles that are lost, because essentially we haven't lost any. Some of them have been damaged. There have been a few, admittedly, in Gaza, which have been, but they really kind of can be counted on the fingers of one hand, rather than in hundreds, and in the case of airplanes, more than 100 airplanes. Some suggest even up to 300 airplanes may have been lost during the Yom Kippur War. And I'm talking about only on the Israeli side. I'm not talking about the losses that were suffered by the foreign armies. Yeah. So there are some very, very fascinating things that have come out that are similar. But I think more significantly, what is different, and of course, this war is being fought in a much more technological way, lots of drone warfare, the intelligence that's being used has been amazing. The length of time that we've had to fight this war, almost 2 years, just goes into its own zone. It cannot be compared with any of the other wars that Israel has fought up until now, almost 2 years long, and we're really feeling the pain and the fatigue from this war. And of course, our current war had a war within the war, Operation Rising Lions, which was the attack against Iran. So for me, I thought that the Yom Kippur War was like the right comparison, the right comparative for Operation Swords of Iron. And in some cases, I think there are things to be compared, but in the large part, not really. And of course, in the Yom Kippur War, during those 2 weeks and 5 days that war was fought, there was a moment when Israel was on the verge of being completely deleted, completely destroyed. And only miracles and some incredible bravery saved Israel from being completely destroyed. I think it would be fair to say that in Operation Swords of Iron, even though there was the intention to destroy Israel, I don't think that our enemies really came close to being on the verge as we were in the Yom Kippur War. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'd love to hear. 0618951019. What I keep thinking about is the trauma that followed the Yom Kippur War. It was decades and decades, and we can only imagine what is still going to follow this war once it is over and once people start actually dealing with it and really internalizing what has happened. Let's just talk about maybe ending the war. U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff is reported to have left Washington, or is leaving Washington, to attend a meeting on the ceasefire. What do we know about this?
So what we've now heard is that Steve Witkoff is on his way to Rome, and he will meet there with Israeli representatives as well as Qatari representatives. We've also heard that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been in touch personally with the Israeli negotiating team in Doha in Qatar. There have been reports of a breakthrough of some sort, which may well signal something that will bring us towards a ceasefire. There are details that are coming out about a potential ceasefire until January. I don't love it when lots of details are exposed and then we kind of don't get any ceasefire at all. There seem to be so many little intricacies, and let's not forget that we had a report a week or two ago that Israel had made this major concession about its presence within Gaza, and this was considered to be the moment that everything would happen, and then of course it all went very quiet. So I still have my skepticism around whether Hamas really has any interest to enter into any ceasefire whatsoever. And of course, lots and lots and lots of information and misinformation coming out of Gaza. The first thing that we heard yesterday was that Palestinian Islamic Jihad, who are holding one of the Israeli hostages, announced that they'd lost contact with the team that are holding that particular hostage. And of course, that brought a lot of anxiety to the family of the person who is apparently being held by Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And it's just a case of psychological warfare, because when one thinks about the way in which our hostage has been held, and in this case, the hostage in question is Rom Braslavsky, who has apparently been held up until now by Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and they're publicly making the announcement saying, oh, we've lost contact with this team. Now, I think that that was designed to coincide with Israel deciding to mount this operation, as we discussed yesterday in Deir al-Balah. And we wonder whether that was just another psychological sign saying, get out of that particular area. We understand that the operation that was mounted yesterday is not going to be lengthy in its nature, and that it may well be coming to an end in the next day or two. We haven't had much many reports about any significant breakthroughs, any significant things that have been achieved in Deir al-Balah. But this is, of course, the psychological warfare. The other psychological warfare is famine in Gaza. This was something that was carried on Sky News, which says that more than 100 people have died of hunger in Gaza, of which, of course, 80 of them are children, just to put the knife in as deep as possible.
And 50 British journalists, foreign... I believe. No, I made that up. Yeah
exactly. And then British Foreign Secretary David Lammy coming out, making a statement about how he is appalled and sickened by what's going on in Gaza, and described it as being grotesque. But the reality of the situation is that the report has said, the report from Israeli government says that more than 950 food trucks are lined up at Kerem Shalom and Zikim crossings from Israel into Gaza, waiting for UN personnel to drive those trucks into Gaza to deliver the food. On those 950 trucks is enough food to supply all of Gaza for more than 2 weeks. And let's not forget that there are massive thefts and robberies going on of all the flour and all the supplies. And I mean, we're not spared that. There's no embarrassment around what's going on. So we're really finding this kind of food warfare going on in Gaza, with control trying to be exerted on the one hand by Hamas, and they are ably supported by the United Nations, against the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which we discussed yesterday, had issued tens of millions of meals. There is massive amounts of food going into Gaza. And yes, the British Foreign Secretary has no qualms in standing up and talking, using words like appalling and sickening and grotesque to describe the situation in Gaza. So we hope somehow that Steve Witkoff will have success in Rome. He is potentially due to carry on from there to Doha to discuss further a possible hostage deal and, of course, a ceasefire arrangement. But in the meantime, I remain skeptical. Unfortunately, I hope to be wrong. I really hope to be wrong. But I am not sure what might have happened suddenly to change the lie of the land, to change the views that the different parties hold.
Your thoughts, 061-895-1019. That was the Israel Report. Thank you, Anthony Reich. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.